Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by The Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, and Books and Brews Pizzeria. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire arts and entertainment conversations and has been recognized by the Sioux Falls Stage Awards with a special distinction for promoting the arts. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Welcome, everybody. It is so great to have you along here on the Dave Holly Hour as we make our way into December now. Oh, my. By the way, speaking of December, this is episode number 58. You know, last week we could say episode 57 was the Heinz 57 variety. We've, you know, 52 is a deck of cards, 13 unlucky or lucky, however you wish. All those types of things. 58, you usually go, no, nothing big there, huh? Except for one fact. In 12 days, I will be 58. And there's something I would like you to do. You don't need to send any money to me. What I want you to do, though, is go to Facebook, and not the Dave Holly Hour Facebook page, but actually go to Dave Holly. And I think there's several of us, so you may have to put in there like Dave Holly 33 or something. But otherwise, just, you know, look for the ruggedly handsome man along with his beautiful wife in the profile picture. I'm in a tuxedo and she's in a nice gown. And that's the one that you want to click on there, because I'm helping donate. We just had Giving Tuesday the other day, but for my birthday, I want donations to go to the Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues Society. I would greatly appreciate that. I don't beg for money. I am politely, however, asking that if you're thinking of giving something this year and you haven't done so, you know, $5 here and there, that's what makes up bigger totals, like a couple of hundred. And that's my goal, is 200. I've already got a $50 donation. I've got a $25 donation that isn't counted on that yet, that someone sent a check to me. Well, not just someone. It was my mom. She's kind of responsible for that me turning 58 thing, you know. All right. So we've got plenty to keep you up to date on what's going on in the world of Sioux Empire arts and entertainment conversations. Two great ones today. First up, in just a few minutes, you're going to hear from Sean Johnson. If you are familiar with Tonic Solfa, the a cappella group, he's in that. And then he goes the opposite extreme. He has the Sean Johnson Big Band experience. And this year, for a holiday, even though it's virtual, they're combined. And I think you're going to enjoy hearing from Sean. And then later on, Katie Reed has some beautiful instrumental music. And we talked to her about the single that just dropped. And now, in a couple of days, her album is coming out. She's just a little bit excited. And I'm excited for you to hear from her as well. Remember Brady Reed that we talked to this past year on this show about getting signed with Crazy Poet Records out of Denver? Yeah, they're a couple. They're a cute little couple, too. And speaking of cute couples, in just a moment, we're going to tell you about one more cute little couple. But before we do that, first of all, you know what it is? Thursdays here, what do we consider it on this show? It's Weekend Eve. That's right. We are getting ready for the weekend and so many fun things ahead. Hopefully you will stay safe. I know that some things are getting a little bit more tight once again, and rightfully so. Because the COVID numbers are high and so forth, but I'm not going to lay down one side or the other. You probably already have your mind made up as to where you fall and all that and so forth. Okay, so no lecturing, none of that. But I do want to let you know, as we celebrate Weekend Eve, I have my typical in my hand. Yes, it's Jasper Newton, Jack Daniel, Diet Coke, and a lime. Had a Zoom meeting the other night to start a new project that I'm very excited about, and it's going to tie in with something else here in just a moment. And sure enough, Matt Morrison, another previous guest, you know, he and his wife Amy, they are the two White Squares, and also very involved in Good Night Theater Collective. And it was a Zoom meeting, and everybody had, you know, some sort of beverage, as we're all in our own homes. And Matt says, "Dave, is that a Jack Diet?" Sure is, Matt. Yeah, so we celebrate that. We celebrate friendships. We celebrate the arts and entertainment in the Sioux Empire. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. Not too far down the line, you know what is going to happen. That's right. Santa Claus is going to be in town. But it's a little different year for Santa. There is another web, or not another website, but another Facebook page you may want to check out called Holly Jolly Santa, okay? Because this particular Santa knows that it's different this year and might not be a lot of in-home visits. So Santa's going virtual. Just a phone call, perhaps? Or maybe you want to do a FaceTime phone call on iPhone? Or maybe you want to do a Facebook Live session. Santa has some time slots, but, you know, it's getting down there. We're getting closer and closer as to when that right jolly old elf is going to be donning that red velvet suit. So you may want to get that lined up if you're thinking about it. Okay? Meanwhile, one of the other things that we have going on, now, our good friends at Books and Brews have temporarily closed the speakeasy side of the business. The pizzeria is remaining open while COVID is going on, but they wanted to have all of their staff be able to focus more on the delivery and the curbside and so forth. So the speakeasy part has been temporarily closed. That doesn't prevent us from giving away this month's Pizza with a Podcaster. And our congratulations goes out to John McQuinn. He's from Michigan. I think he might be our longest distance winner. You're saying, "But Dave, when's he ever going to have Books and Brews Pizza?" Well, I actually met John a while back. While hosting trivia down in T at the Sky Lounge. And John and his lady friend played that night, and he actually gets to Sioux Falls maybe once a month or so. So the offer stands for whenever John McQuinn, with a Q, is back in town. John, the pizza is on the Dave Holly Hour, and look forward to sharing that with you. Let's see. Oh, I think I'll just put this all together, this next little part, for that little weekly feature we call Honorable Mention. You know that it's each week a shout-out to somebody, something that made me smile, chuckle, laugh, tears of joy, you know, whatever. Well, something this past week happened. I'm not privileged to tell you the whole works yet, okay? But remember how I've been telling you over the past couple of weeks that we're not going to be having a show on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, where we normally would have a new show every Thursday? We may fill those two shows with something else that's being worked on right now. All right? And it has to do with the holidays. The big one indeed, but it's going to be from a new place of business. I'm going to leave it at that, but the one part that I wanted to pass along to you for this week's winner of our honorable mention, the people that I'm working with on this, you have heard several of them on this show. And the ones that will be involved in this project that you haven't heard on this show yet, notice I said yet, is because I've had so many great guests and so many more great guests to come. They are on the docket to be on this show. But Nick Jackson, he and his wife, Tina, contacted me wanting to get the ball rolling on this little particular project. And you're probably going to see some things posted on Facebook in the next few days concerning it. So as long as you are paying attention and you are looking for the same sites that you find this on, you're going to be finding some more information about something fun. And they're a young couple, and I applaud them. They have a big dream, and here's what I love about them is I know eventually they are going to succeed with that big dream. But just a little bit of it is coming your way very soon. And to see the and hear the joy that they have for this project and the fact that they got some really cool people involved in it made my heart jump a lot. Almost as good as exercise. No, better. I didn't have to exercise. All right, so congratulations to Nick and Tina. You are this week's coveted honorable mention winners. When we come back, don't forget later on in the show, Katie Reed, but up next, the big band man, Sean Johnson, on the Dave Holly Hour.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XO Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation, 605-332-9235 or exochiros.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XO Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
One podcast just isn't enough. Make sure you listen to Dave's other show, Dave Holly's More M.O.R., as he goes through great songs from a mostly forgotten radio format known as Middle of the Road. It's part history, fun facts, occasional news of what many great artists are doing now, and you'll even hear about what's old is new again. Search M.O.R. and listen on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. The days of yore with More M.O.R.
It's another Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversation on the Dave Holly Hour.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour. Yes, it's a weekend eve, Thursday once again. It means we're getting excited for all the stuff that's going to happen. And of course, we're into December now. And there's so many more things to take in, especially great holiday shows. And one of those that you can catch, we'll tell you how, is with Sean Johnson. How are you today, Sean?
I am good. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
You're quite welcome. It's my pleasure. I've seen you a few times, both Tonic Sulfa, also your holiday show, and then the Sean Johnson Big Band Experience. So what do you have cooking for us this Christmas time?
Well, we found out, like so many others, that a lot of the theaters were closed, and we still wanted to do something about touring, whether it was a live stream for our bedroom, which we thought were getting maybe old. So we decided to do as much of a normal tour as possible. And by that, I mean, we're doing a virtual tour to all the different cities that we'd normally go to. A portion of the proceeds go to the particular theater in that town, to a charity in that town. And then we catered each show as well to the particular city. So probably as close as I'm going to get in 2020 to the real thing.
Right. Yeah. So it's been difficult for everybody involved in arts and entertainment. There's no doubt about that. Now, in terms of the holiday show, as you just mentioned, you're going to be tailoring it. What can people in Sioux Falls, I believe that's December 11th, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What can people in Sioux Falls expect out of this?
Well, first of all, you know, one of the first shows we ever did was in Sioux Falls with Tonic Sulfa, which is the a cappella group I'm in. So we are definitely bringing a holiday show, though virtually, to Sioux Falls. But I'm also combining it with a big band experience. They're both groups that I own and run, I guess. The Big Band Experience started just for charity a few years ago, but it, too, has taken on a life of its own. We've actually never done a holiday show together, but I thought it might be more interesting to combine the two, a little more variety. Plus, we have special guests. I actually went in and recorded, I think, like 200 introductions and various things about each community. And so that it would be tailored in some way. Plus, we're moving around some songs. So some nights the songs change, kind of like a real tour. It doesn't change every single night because we'd have to learn, you know, 4,000 songs. Mm-hmm. But it does change every night. Like you said, a portion of the proceeds go to the particular theater that we're partnering with. In Sioux Falls' case, the Pavilion, of course. And it's my hometown now, so I just I think it's so exciting. It's weird to be home, and, you know, after the show is done, we've done a few already. It's strange not to hop into, you know, a truck or the bus or whatever and not have to go to a hotel and instead just be like, well, guess I'm going to go to bed now. So it's been interesting. But boy, the support, I have not believed. I didn't really know what to expect. And we actually just found out today the Sioux Falls show is sold out.
Excellent.
Which, but we are opening it for a limited time. We're opening it back up once. So I don't want to say, oh, it's sold out. Don't get your tickets. You can get your tickets, but that will be it. And people say, how are you sold out in a virtual show? But we wanted to offer, just like a real tour again, a certain number of seats. And we didn't want it to just be like we're just opening it to a million people every night. We wanted it to be where it was like a limited number, sort of a VIP experience. And I didn't think Sioux Falls would sell out as fast as it did. So we're not going to open it up in every town. But Sioux Falls, like I said, my hometown now, I've got to do something. So it's open back up.
Well, that's fantastic. In the meantime, what's it like? What have you done any rehearsing for this then, virtually as well? And how does everybody come together for the virtual show?
Yeah, it was interesting because we actually thought about this, you know, in the spring, and we kind of didn't know, are we going to be doing some shows and not other shows? But eventually all the theaters, other than I think two in 40 cities, closed. And so what we did was we got everybody from the big band together. We got everybody from Tonic Silva. And in one day, I picked out all these different songs. I went through and recorded twice through. So I'd have everybody was, 6 feet apart. Everybody had been wearing, all the crew was wearing masks. And we were in a warehouse, basically. And we went through and did like two versions of all these number of different songs. And then the guys from Tonic Silva left. And I had some special guests come in and I did like two versions of a few songs. And then I had big band come in. We did two versions of all these different multiple songs. So I ended up singing for about 9 hours. And I've never done that. By the end of the day, I was so hoarse. I was like, and now the next song, you know. But I just wanted to have some extra songs so we could make each show different. And I didn't, you know, you always have a limited budget, a limited amount of time. Mm-hmm. And the guys, everybody's so spread out. So to get everybody there particular days, because everybody has a different experience. Some people are in different states. You know, it was really a task, but super happy with how it turned out. And then I spent the next few months getting rights to songs and, you know, putting all the shows together with my wife and editing different things. And like I said, a few hundred intros. And so we would just do all those kind of things again to try to make it so that if you're, you know, spending your hard-earned money, it's worth it.
Right.
And it's not just, again, me in my bedroom with a guitar saying, mm-hmm. hey, you know, we've done that too. That's nothing wrong with it.
But well, exactly. And you know, when all of the COVID stuff first started, you know, the great thing was the fact that, you know, people did find a way to do things virtually. And, you know, just like the evolution of anything else, things progress and we get better at it and so forth. So, you know, looking forward to, you know, what somebody like yourself who does, you know, have a little more retainable, I guess, cash flow or budget for the shows that you normally would, that you are able to, you know, keep providing the quality part then as well.
Well, it's what I can do for $3. So just, you know, it's the budget.
Wow.
No, we did try. We wanted to make sure. We actually, the people that we hired to film it, we were going to film it ourselves. And we found a crew that also was out of work. And they were actually going to be doing the Zac Brown Band tour, the country tour. And so they had this giant warehouse full of cameras that they would have used and screens and lights, and they said, look, we'll give you a really good deal using a piece of this. Obviously you can't set up the whole thing in a warehouse, but we'll give you a really good deal if you want to do it with us, because we could use the work too. So it just was somewhat fortuitous, I think, that hopefully we helped them a little. We helped these theaters a little, and all of us got together for the first time in months to do it. So
yeah, let's go back to the beginnings with Tonic Sulfa. That actually, before Sioux Falls became your new hometown, it basically had some roots here, didn't it?
It did. One of the guys from Tonic Sulfa was born and raised here. His name is Greg Banworth, and he now lives in the Twin Cities. But we figured, you know, someone has to live in Sioux Falls. So I got married and moved here 5 years ago. But we did do so many shows, from the Sioux Empire Fair to shows in Brandon at the high school. I can just remember all these things that we would do until we took a chance a few years into the group on doing our own shows. And that's pretty much all we do now. But at the time, it was a risk. And we thought, well, we've been to Sioux Falls many times. Maybe we can, you know, get enough people in a high school auditorium to make this work. And now, you know, a decade later, however long, it's like, it's just been one of our continual tour stops. And a lot of our tour stops change, but there are probably 10 cities that have not changed. And that's simply because of the support.
Yeah, great to have a consistency in something like that, that's for sure. So you started off with Tonic Sulfa, and then you hit one of my heartthrobs. You went big band on us. And, you know, I anytime I karaoke, I do the standards, you know, I'm up Frank and so forth. And so when you started that, I was like, oh, man, we got to go see Sean Johnson big band experience, too.
Well, you're kind. I did love it growing up. You know, people, I think I'm either 20 or 30 years behind, maybe
an older soul.
Yeah. I don't know. But when I was a kid, that's pretty much what I listened to. And, you know, my friends, of course, were like, what is this and why are you listening to it? But there's just something about it to me that has I probably wouldn't have put my finger on it then, but I just like the joy, I think, that comes out of it. I don't know if it's the arrangements and singers. I think there's so much emotion, probably. And I don't know that I'm not like there's music, any kind of music. You know, I like a lot of different styles, and I get where you could get emotion out of all of them. But there is something about it to me that's so emotional with either happiness or sadness or loss or longing. And so I always liked the music. I ended up in a cappella sort of accidentally. And I always thought about doing something with a big band, but we just never had the time. A lot of times it was just, we were touring 300 days a year. You didn't have the time to say, I'm going to start something else. But I think as we grew, you know, into our lives a little more and people have families and kids, it did at some points, there was a moment where I thought, oh, I could now do some of these pet projects. And that was one of them. But I didn't know that it was going to do what it did. I really thought it would do a few shows.
Right.
And it would be good. But you kind of, you know, you end up rolling along and you get a manager and you get an agent and all these things. And then all of a sudden you're building something else. And it definitely is building because it's, you know, it's new. People are like, oh, I saw you a few years ago at Christmas. And that's very true. But at the time we only did a couple of shows at Christmas for fun. We didn't go on the road and do it, you know, for real. And so in the last couple of years, it has really found its legs. And it's just exciting to split, I think, my time between, you know, every instrument you can fit on stage or, you know, with a cappella, no instruments on stage.
Exactly. You know, talk about going from one extreme to the other, that's for sure. Now, for anybody that has seen you on stage, they know that, let's just say, you have more exercise in one show than I do in a year.
I don't know about that. But
well, trust me, I've seen you.
You know, I watch videos and I always go, what are you doing? So I don't, it's weird. I people always say, what are you like in real life? And I do feel like, as cheesy as it sounds, I'm probably exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Because my wife says, oh my gosh, you have too much energy stored up. But I'm a very private person though, and quiet. So in some ways, I guess stage allows you to do the things that you wouldn't normally do. But yes, I've always had a crazy ton of energy. I always have to, like, 50 projects going on. And I suppose somewhat that frenetic pace is evident on stage. But I have seen videos. I know I look completely dorky. That's okay with me. It's just who I am.
Exactly. You know, own it. And accept it, to go with it, the whole works. But I was curious when you said that you sang for 9 hours one day, if you were dancing for 9 hours too.
I was, but I will notice during the show, because I've had to edit this and see my face, unfortunately, hundreds of times in the last month while I was putting all these shows together, I have noticed that some songs I'm like, ooh, that must have been towards the end because it looks like I'm working. And, you know, and there's some that I'm like, oh, that's so fun. And the next one I'm like, whoa, he's looking, you know, I'm looking tired. I got to change. We're not going to use that take. So definitely as it went on, you know, I never gotten to the point where I was like, oh my gosh, am I going to make it through this next song? So hopefully I think that we got rid of most of that stuff and we just picked some of the things that we liked the best out of all of our attempts that day.
All right. A cappella, it kind of lended itself very well to a holiday show. And then big band also lent itself really well to a holiday show. And now we're going to see them together, correct?
Yes. And part of the reason was in the last year before everything shut down, a lot of the requests, you know, big band was getting a lot of different shows around the country, but a lot of people, we had the idea, what if we combine the two? And that was getting a ton of interest. We were booking so many shows around the U.S. at least that involved both. It was half big band with a couple times Tonic Sulfa make an appearance and half Tonic Sulfa where a couple times musicians or pieces would make an appearance. So it was this kind of mixed show. We, again, never done a holiday show together. We had started to do a lot of regular shows. So it was kind of based, I think because of all of that, I thought, ooh, it would be fun to do one together, even though this is virtual.
Right. And what do you think holds the future for both groups now?
Well, we have a lot of things in the works. As you know, I just finished an album of all original music, which is the second album for Big Band. Our first one went top five on Billboard. So we're like, oh, what are we going to do for the second one? And then, so working on that, almost finished. I also did a Christmas album, but I'm not going to release it or parts of it until next year, I don't think, which is also all original. I had a lot of time, obviously. And we have a book coming out about Tonic Sulfa, the history, sort of. It's sort of tongue in cheek because all the crazy things that happened to a group like the Rolling Stones or, you know, have happened to us, but only in a tiny, tiny way. We're not comparing ourselves in any way.
Obviously.
But there's so many things when I read people's biographies, I'm like, yep, that happened to us. Yep, that happened. Oh, yep, that happened. So we kind of wrote this book about, it's almost ridiculous because of, it's absolutely true, but I don't think anyone's going to believe it. So that's coming out. We also have a children's book that's coming out, which is in tandem with a masterclass that's going out around the country. We do a lot of masterclasses, but have never done a virtual one that involves the teachers that teach us too, like our voice lesson teachers, right, our managers, all those different people that it involves us and them in this kind of special masterclass for younger kids. And I think because I have three daughters, so I thought it was kind of cool, and we're just putting a book out at the same time with it. So a lot of things, and we announce all those as they come out on social media. So you can always follow us either at Tonic Sulfa or at Sean Johnson Music.
All right, and that's Sean, S-H-A-U-N, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct spelling on the websites is always a little bit important.
Yeah, or you might get the ice skater from Iowa if you don't spell it. So.
That's right. You were talking about all the things coming out in terms of new albums and books and so forth. You know, one of the things that people enjoy when they see you live in concert is going to the merch table afterward. So you've got all this, everything's online, but does everything just kind of feel different without, you know, going out after the show and standing at the merch table and signing autographs and so forth?
Oh, for sure. I mean, one of the things that we're doing in each of these shows, we hooked up with, it's a platform called Single. And so you can have a virtual merchandise sort of during the show. You can look through some of our things, which is, you know, it's not how I'd love to do it, but it's something. And also during each show, I'm online each night answering questions and talking to people, and that's been a blast. Sometimes they come too fast and furious. I can't answer everybody, but it's a little bit of a stand-in for what you're talking about. But yes, I absolutely miss the best part of touring for me is travel, because I love to see different places. I don't care if it's the tiniest town, somebody that wants to show us, you know, the railroad museum or the whatever. It's all good to me because I love history. I love little towns, you know, and large cities too. It's just so exciting. There's so much energy. And the second thing to me is people, because every friend that I have is from touring. Like you can't really join, the volleyball club because you can only be there once in a summer, and you can't really, go to the same place over and over because you're never home. And so a lot of the people that I met and that I think have become so close to me are because I met them at a show or because I worked with them on a song. So it's all the meeting of all these amazing people. And like I said, seeing these fantastic places, those two things you cannot replace virtually. And I miss it so much. But like I said, trying our darndest.
Mm-hmm. So you said that you've got a new holiday album you're waiting a year on, but all original.
Yes.
And so can you give us an idea of what it takes to make an original holiday tune?
That's funny because I mean, I'm probably, overstepping my bounds, but I wanted something that was classic sounding to me and also something that, again, had emotion of the season somehow. And I think because we've also done a few originals throughout the years that really struck a chord with people, and a lot of them were Christmas. And so I didn't go back to those, but I thought, okay, this is something I don't hear much. I hear some of my favorite singers in the world. They'll throw an original or two, and then they'll redo 10 songs. And I like it because I like their voice. But I thought it would be more interesting to try to write a bunch of original Christmas songs. And the nice thing, I've had time to go through and be like, okay, I like that song, but it's not great. And so I'm trying to go through and say, okay, with the time I have allotted or with, the budget that you have allotted, can I do an album I'm super, super proud of, get rid of the songs that are fine, but they're not up to par maybe of what you'd like to do. And there's definitely that. I worked on a song it's just about the wise men, basically, but you wouldn't know it, I don't think. And I loved the melody, and I just couldn't get it to work. It's still sitting there because no matter what I did, it was like, nope, too dark, nope, too, But then there's some other songs. One, I just feel like it's like walking through snow. It feels like that when you listen to it. And so I'm super excited about that particular song. And then there's just the other ones. I do have a couple of originals from other writers that I really liked. There was one that was just sent to me not too long ago that actually made the album. It's called Christmas Eve, and it's very, very pretty. It's almost like a prayer or something. But I changed some of the words, and I, added like a string section, and, changed it up, but that was not my song. So still an original song that they gave to me to use, but I'm just, very excited about it. But we'll see. Maybe I'm going to listen to it and go, this doesn't say Christmas to me at all.
So did you do the arrangement on all the songs as well?
It depends on the song, because working virtually, I have so many people working from far away. I met a guy in London that did some of the production on things. I had some girls that were singing background on some of the songs that were from Nashville and just all over. So it kind of depends. I mean, you definitely say, okay, I would like this, but sometimes what you get back is their take on it too. And I don't think you can ever take credit for a song and say, oh, I wrote this. Even if you did the melody and the words, whatever, it's just a song is either elevated or ruined, I think, sometimes by, all the different pieces. And I think so much of the time when it's a really great song, it's not just you. So as much as I'd like to claim arrangement, it's actually a lot of people.
Big collaborations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So what was the point in your life that you said, this is it? I want to be a musician or a singer, a performer of some kind for my life. That's what I want to do.
You know, a lot of people ask me that. In some ways, I think it's when I was little, I sang constantly. My mom would say, you'd eat a bite, and you'd hum, and you'd be in the bathtub singing, and you'd be like, Mom, listen to me, listen to this. I'd be down in the basement, and she'd be like, oh, that sounds great, always supportive. But I think then, as I grew up, oddly enough, I love music. I was in music. I had some music teachers that were instrumental in saying, you should do something with this. But it was the support of the community, supportive parents. But when I got to college, I was like, ugh, what are you ever going to do with music? And I totally left it. I didn't do anything with music for 4 years of college. And I just thought, well, you have to buckle down and find a real job. And then accidentally somebody asked me, hey, if we ever started an a cappella group, we heard you sing sometimes, would you ever want to do this? And I was like, sure, I can always be a lawyer later. And so I did it accidentally. Again, I'd love to say, it was my plan, but I think it was always what I wanted to do. I mean, I did every, you know, county and state fair talent show, and I was always singing for people at, you know, meetings they'd have, you know, the pork producers in Iowa, because I grew up in Iowa, and all these different people. So I was always singing, and I always wanted to. But to be honest, I don't know if I actually knew that you could. It seemed like, you know, Frank Sinatra and those kind of people, of course they did, or Michael Bublé now. But I think at the time, I don't know that I really thought you could do a career. And that's why when I got to college, I thought, well, it's time to be serious. And it's something that we tell students now all over the country. Like, you can do absolutely anything you want to do. I mean, if you think, all I want to do is make, you know, banjo strings, you can. I mean, there is a job. You can make it doing that. It will be tough, but you can.
All right. And so is this better than being a lawyer?
I thought about going back and getting a law degree, because you can get them so much faster now. And you can't really get them online, but you can do a lot of it online. You still have to actually go take all the, not like some degrees. But
if you do it, make sure you're a copyright lawyer for your songs.
Exactly. I think there's some music lawyers. That's really fun. They get to meet all sorts of interesting people in their line of work. The only thing for me is I wanted to go into a courtroom and argue. I didn't want to write a lot and do a lot of papers. And there's nothing wrong with that. But so many of the lawyers that I interned with, and I was going to do that, it was like, okay, we're going to, you know, look through tort law today. And I'm like, oh man, I just wanted to go to court all the time, not realizing that the point of it was to never go to court. So, you know.
So what was a Christmas like in the Johnson household when you were a kid?
I think it was big on tradition. My mom was really big on finery, like making a table really pretty. It was important to her. And music from when they were kids, which is maybe why I have a love of big band that I do. And singing was always very important. My dad loved to sing, was always singing and dancing with my mom. We always had the tradition of oyster stew.
My father
do or
did.
Don't, but...
Yeah.
Okay, well,
he grew up
it was
on
a big tradition. Yeah, I don't know where that even comes from, but if somebody said, oh, it's a lot tradition on the East Coast, I don't know if that's true, but yeah, we ate certain things at certain moments, and we had the nativity stuff, and we were always like, okay, this day we're doing the tree and the wreaths, and so I think it was just a tradition. I know that's kind of a long answer to your question.
Yeah. So when you are not performing, who do you like to go watch, see? What entertains you?
Well, I have a 4-year-old. She's entertaining. for music wise, there's so many singer songwriters, a lot of people that are kind of famous, but not famous enough where if I said their name, people are like, oh yeah, but they, you know, they sell out, they do what they want to do. I have fallen in love with some singer songwriters from Nashville that, I kind of 6 degrees of separation. There's a guy named Dave Barnes who I love, Ben Rector, who is fantastic. I actually purchased a ticket to his Christmas show virtually. But I also, like I said, with me, I run a couple of businesses, which is sort of a contact sport in some ways. I'm doing that, which all have to do with music and all have to do with sort of offshoots of what I'm doing, but that's been exciting. And then, my wife is really into design. So I've kind of gotten into that. She designs a lot of, corporate buildings and stuff, but she also does some private.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so I love learning from her, and I just have gotten into it. We've redesigned parts of our house, and we've helped other people with parts of their houses totally for fun. I'm like, I'm not, you know, it's not something, but I'm like, oh, I really get into that. So, and maybe I have some people in my family that's what they do for a living. So it could be partly that too, I guess.
Fantastic. Well, certainly appreciate with all the time that you gave us today, considering how busy you are with everything. So certainly, Sean Johnson, thank you so much. A Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, and I really appreciate you taking the time. So thank you.
My pleasure. And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. and a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
A Sioux Falls Stage Awards special distinction for promoting the arts. Here is Dave Holly.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour, and it's an exciting time for one young lady in the music industry here in the Sioux Empire, because Katie Reed is here. How are you doing, Katie?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yes, you should be. I mean, you've got a single that came out. You've got an album coming out on the 5th, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And how about that? That's not too far away. Just
no.
A couple of days.
Yes.
You obviously excited about that?
Very.
Yeah. And so tell us about what led up to getting a single out and then to also have an album coming out.
Well, I did plan both of those simultaneously. And it's recommended that you do a single first because I've never released music before. So mm-hmm. if you never have had music on Spotify or Apple Music, they recommend that you put one song out first because that's when your artist profile is made. You kind of get the excitement started, give people a taste of what you are releasing into the world.
Right.
And then you can hit the news feeds with the exciting announcement that you're releasing an album.
Yeah.
So I was holding that a secret for a very long time. And I'm glad that there wasn't a bigger break between the single and the album release.
Did you think, gosh, what's it like for the people on Jeopardy that win and they got to wait like a month and a half before they tell anybody?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So a lot of excitement, obviously, and at a great time of the year, too. You know,
yes.
You know, it's most wonderful time of the year, but obviously you're thinking that, if not singing it.
Yes.
But tell us about the single first.
So the single is called Growing Up, and we can kind of get into it a little later where the single is actually featured on the album as well with just a little bit of a twist. But the single is called Growing Up, and this was actually a song that I made when I was younger in my school days, and it's just kind of developed as a wonderful piece of art, and it just kind of reflects the journey from, you know, my very, very beginnings as a baby to just kind of that growing up and reflecting
right.
those happiest memories that I can recall as a child.
And what's it take to write a song? Because you said, you know, it's been around. You've had this and now you've gotten to the point where you felt, I can release this.
Yes.
What's it take in between time? Does it just sit on a shelf or do you like, well, you know, haven't looked at this in a while. Let's pen some more.
Yeah, I mean, this dream of mine to release music has been in my mind since I was really young, starting to write songs when I was even like 5 years old. I just mm-hmm. told myself, I'm going to do this one day when I'm ready. And you always seem to procrastinate on going after your dreams when you don't think it's going to be perfect or it's not going to be the perfect time. And I just realized as a mature adult that there's no such thing as a perfect time. There's no such thing as a perfect work of art. And so I decided, you know, I've been just playing these songs over and over. They're not written anywhere. They're not professionally recorded anywhere. So it's just time to do this.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned, you know, getting something released on Apple, on Spotify and so forth to do the single first so that the profile comes along. I think that's something that, you know, a lot of us that realize, okay, you know, everything we have technologically now makes it perhaps a little easier, you know, to get something released.
Mm-hmm.
But we still forget about all the things that it takes to release it.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what did you find that was something you hadn't thought of necessarily?
Well, I think, yeah, you're exactly right on the money there that a lot of people think that you just go and you record your song and then you almost like upload it to these places. But there's so much more that's involved with releasing music. So something that I didn't expect was just how detailed you need to be when you are doing the preparation and having to do the work ahead of time to research to make sure it comes out when you want it to release. Because you can submit your music to the distributor. I use CD Baby to distribute my music. But if you don't do it ahead of time, you're going to be stuck with their timelines.
Oh.
And you're going to end up waiting in limbo for when it's actually ready to go.
And so the release date came along. Were you sitting by the computer and watching all those sites and so forth to see, you know, how many people were streaming, listening, downloading?
I was, yeah. And even if you think you do everything right, there can always be problems that happen. So I was very excited when I saw at midnight when my single released that it was actually out into the world.
Right.
So.
And after day one, better than expected?
After day one.
And, you know, when you sat through those first 24 hours of taking a look at that it had been released and you start to see the statistics of how many people are listening and so forth.
Yeah.
Did you have any sort of goal or?
Any goal? Not really. It was just an accomplishment in itself to have recorded and put it out into the mm-hmm. world. I think probably the coolest thing was my mother was the only one who was, well, not the only one, but one of the few people that actually stayed up until midnight.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, you know, just to have her react and say, oh my gosh, I love this music and I'm crying and all. I mean, that was worth it. No amount of views or comments could have topped my mother's reaction.
Well, that's a great one. Something you could put in some album notes sometime then.
Yes.
Because you know, when I started the podcast, it's like, okay, I've got one made, uploaded it, woke up the next morning, you know, like 10 people and so forth.
Yeah.
By the end of the day, over 25, it's like, okay, that was cool.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the next one that I did, episode number two, got like 50 off the bat and 76 by the end of the day. And I'm like, oh, this is really fun now.
Yeah.
And then to see people go back and listen to episode one as well and bump those numbers. So,
yeah,
there's excitement to doing things. Yeah.
Yes.
So you started writing at 5 years old and having fun with that. What about the musical part for you, though? When did that come along?
It was around the same time.
Really?
Yes.
Because you're a pianist. Do you prefer a pianist or a keyboardist?
Whichever.
It doesn't matter as
if
long as you make music.
If it involves a piano, yep, that's me. Yes.
All right. And so that came along about the same time. What were some of the first things that you remember musically saying, oh, this is cool and I want to do it?
Yeah. So my earliest memory, and I wrote this on the social medias, I was kind of going back and recalling some memories of how I got to where I was today. This is something I wrote about. My first piano, if you want to call it a piano, was called a Pianosaurus. And it was this cheap little plastic piano that kind of looked like Barney, kind of a xylophone looking thing. So that was my first memory of playing an actual instrument. And then, of course, sometime along the line, my parents and I had a discussion where I said, I want to do this. I want to like play piano. I love this.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got me into piano lessons and I started at 5 years old.
All right. And did you do the traditional thing, you know, playing in church, singing in church, before you started going out on your own?
I did like contest pieces.
Okay.
So I had a piano teacher and she would have these little recitals. So those are the majority of things that I did. I think I might have played for our church at that time. I was pretty young, but most of it was recitals.
And did you have to go through guild?
Guild.
Guild.
No.
Oh, you didn't do that. Wow.
No.
Boy, that's a nerve wracker for people that I've been associated with.
Yeah. No, we were kind of a small little group. She, my piano teacher, just kind of had these small gatherings for all of her students. So never got into the guild stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Because I know from experience, my wife's youngest daughter was like, you know, sweating and so forth when she had to go through that. And that's, you know, it's so private, you know, when they're actually performing for the judge and so forth. And so that's different. So what's it like for you right now getting this released in this wonderful little, pardon the French, but I call it the pandemic?
Yeah.
And so what's it been like? What have you been doing musically? Now how do you feel about this during this particular time then?
Yeah, I mean, it worked out because just shortly before the pandemic, I was thinking about, okay, I am at this stage in my life where I'm ready to invest the time and money that it takes to record this music and get it out into the world. So I'm going to do this. But I had no idea that a pandemic was going to be happening. So it actually kind of worked out where the pandemic shut everyone inside. And that gave me the ability to say, okay, this is almost uninterrupted time where I can just go completely focused on mm-hmm. what I'm doing here. And so it actually worked out in my favor where I could, you know, just stay in our house and just make sure that we can record this music the way it should be.
So did you record it at home then?
I did.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
With help from your husband?
Yeah, he helped a little bit. Unfortunately, Sioux Falls doesn't have a lot of options when it comes to recording studios. My husband Brady, he's lucky. He can just bring his guitar to any recording studio and can record it there. But for me, I don't have a baby grand piano that I can just haul
right.
wherever I want to.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, I wasn't able to record on a live piano, but I did use a keyboard, mm-hmm. Which the technology these days is incredible.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy the way it turned out, but he was definitely there to help me with the learning curve associated with new technology.
And how long of a time frame were we looking at from you saying, okay, it's time, we're buckling down, we're going to get an album out. Give us that time frame, what it took.
Oh gosh, months.
Mm-hmm.
I did work with Warehouse Recording Studios to record some of the music, and because I don't know much about mixing or any of that more techie type stuff. So between that and just recording it at home and making sure I had a good track down before sending it there, yeah, it took several months to get it all ready.
Yeah. What are you most proud about with your musical career at this point?
Just for bringing a dream to life, something that I had always dreamed of doing. And yeah, I'll do it one day. Yeah, I'll do it one day. And now it's here and it's in a physical form. You know, this is something that if we ever have kids, they'll be able to have a physical, almost like a legacy of, you know, and same with Brady with his music too. Yeah,
historical as well, you know, family history. That's fantastic. Let's talk a little bit because it really does kind of coincide with your other love of being a coach.
Yes.
Tell us about that. Your coaching career in terms of, and we're not talking athletics, we're talking about helping people.
Yes.
Because when you said that, you know, that was so important that you accomplished something like that. And so, obviously, that background of being a career coach, a life coach, and whatever else you want to refer to it as, mm-hmm. led to that too, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of just been a season of, I have been living my life a certain way. Where do I want to go from here? And that question kind of helped me understand what things weren't working and what things I wanted to pursue. And so out of that, I decided I was going to devote my career to helping other people in the form of life coaching, along with recording music. So it's been a very busy year.
That's for sure. No doubt about it. In the meantime, you mentioned Brady. He's a musician, and the two of you also play together, Common Ground.
Yes.
How was this past year with Common Ground? I know you did get out to the fair, correct?
Yes.
And played some downtown. Did you have to resort to doing any virtual shows and so forth?
Yeah, we started out, I mean, summer's our busiest time. So, mm-hmm. of course, for us, we were worried, like, how is this going to affect our income? Because any income we make from our gigs goes right in back to our equipment.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we're not going on lavish vacations or anything with the tips that we get. It's all going back to our music. So we were a little worried at first. We did some live, like, Facebook videos of us playing.
Right.
We also did songs from the balcony, and that was where we literally stood on our balcony and we did a live video and played to all the neighbors below. Nobody threw anything at us, so I guess we were okay. But we were so thankful for the opportunities that we did have this summer. We had the most gigs we've ever had in the history of Common Ground. I think we had 13 performances this past summer, which was...
That were actually live.
Yeah, in person. Wow. So that was so amazing. We were not expecting that.
Right. Well, that's fantastic. Yeah. Where do you see your career musically going between Common Ground and then also just Katie Reed?
Yeah, I think Common Ground will be keep doing that as long as we can, as long as we have the opportunities to do so. We love playing together and singing covers. So, I mean, wherever that goes, we like to play for weddings or events. So we'd like to see some more of those in the upcoming years. But as far as me, I guess this is just the beginning. You know, I am so excited to release music and I came out of it alive. And it was just such a fun thing to bring about in the world. And I'm not done writing now just because I've released music. So just continuing to write and release music is the goal for me.
When you consider yourself a writer, does that mean that everything's coming to you in terms of the words first and then the music? Or are you a singer-songwriter that, you know, kind of says, well, you know, sometimes I'll have whistle this little tune and you go, wouldn't that make a great melody? I better come up with some words. What's your process?
Yeah, so my music is actually just instrumental. So there's no lyrics at all, but sometimes it's something where there's a memory or a story or a message that I'm trying to send. So that starts the inspiration. Other times I'll just be playing around and I'll like what I hear and it just builds off of that. I find meaning through it. Some of the songs that I write even change meaning depending on when I, you know, when I listen to them. So I think that's something really unique about piano music is I'm not verbally telling what's going on for the song. The notes are the only thing people have to make that interpretation for themselves.
I love instrumental music, and you know, there's an old saying though that when you're happy, you hear the music. When you're sad, you listen to the lyrics. But do you feel that instrumental can play both and, you know, hit all the emotions?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And when you sit down at the piano then and you start to go that route, what are you thinking about? You know, do you have a mental image of who you're trying to hit?
It's not so much who I'm trying to speak to, it's more the what. A lot of my songs, for example, growing up, the message that I'm sending is connecting with the happiest parts of your childhood. So it's kind of like themes that we see in our lives. And I think everyone can relate to those messages that I send, no matter who they are.
All right. And then the album, how would you describe it?
The album is just a combination of all, or accumulation, I should say, of all of these songs that I wrote in when I was in school. I mean, pre-college. Yeah. So it's just, it's really a closing of that chapter and allowing for a new chapter, a new beginning, which ironically is what the CD is, the album is called.
So is there a competition between you and Brady? You know, because he's got himself a deal, you know, and with the Crazy Poet Records out in Denver. And is it now that he's pushing you saying, come on, Katie, come on?
No, it's just we want to be so in the moment and present for each other. And so when he released his first single and he had a music video, I just wanted to be so focused and helpful for his process. And now we've kind of flipped. Even though he's still recording, now he's able to be super present for my journey as well. So we're kind of trading. I wouldn't say it's a competition, but we are letting the other have their spotlight so we can support the other.
And so when he was doing his video, were you going, I can see, or you're, you know, taking notes mentally, like, this is cool, but I'd do this different? Or
yes, I had the pleasure of seeing his fails and mistakes and deciding to do something different. And now that I am the first to release the album out of the two of us, he can see what didn't work for me and learn from my mistakes. So it's
exactly
kinda nice.
A lot of a great learning process, that's for sure. In terms of your musical background, the early start, piano and so forth, and writing. What do you think started that? I mean, what was it back in your mind at 5 years old that just kind of went, school?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I just liked playing around on the piano and seeing what sounded good. And I guess when you are focused on a certain aspect of a song and you just want to complete it. Like you want to see what it becomes, how it evolves. So that was a really big pusher as far as creating music. But then on the more funny side of things, I was classically trained. So I sometimes had a problem with wanting to play my own music versus playing what other people wanted me to play. So when I was supposed to be practicing or when a song wouldn't be as easy as I wanted it to be, I maybe got sidetracked a lot. And that's that was a really big reason why I kept making music. Not a really big reason, but that was an opportunity for me to continue to create.
Who do you look up to musically?
I looked up to and still look up to Stephen Mark. He was a pianist from the Sioux Falls area, super talented, and he released CDs. And I just remember listening to him all the time growing up. And I was like, you know, if he can release music like that, I want to do that when I'm older too.
When you're not performing, what kind of hobbies do you have and so forth? Who do you like to be entertained by?
It's funny that you say that because I feel like hobbies have just been recording music lately. Yeah. You know, we've been just so busy with me running a business for the first time and doing music. But otherwise, we like to travel. Brady and I love to travel, spend time with our family and friends, just relax, you know, just kind of step away from the busyness of recording and playing music in the summers.
What's a holiday season hold for you guys?
We are doing the best we can. Yeah. Like everyone else, we are trying to stay connected with our loved ones while doing it safely.
Yeah, so Zoom meetings and FaceTimes and things like that.
Socially distant stuff too. Doing our best.
It's different. Yeah, because I don't know if you know this, but one of the other things I do to make an extra buck is and have the feeling we're going to be doing a lot of virtual visits this year versus in homes.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different. What do you hope that you continue, obviously, the success for Common Ground, but also for yourself and for Brady? Do you see other collaborations, other projects and so forth in the works?
Yeah, Brady and I have actually talked about maybe doing a album together where we are doing our cover songs. So it'd be kind of like Common Ground on CD. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times we've been playing and somebody's come up to us and said, "Do you have a CD?" And we kind of look at each other because we kind of do our own music. We kind of feature each other on some songs, but I think that would be really fun to have a cover album.
So what we'll see next time around is you'll have a merch table that'll have Brady stuff, stuff, and then Common Ground.
Yeah. We're actually hoping to get a spot at the Sidewalk Arts Festival, and that way we can combine both of our music and Common Ground, give people kind of a chance to interact with us outside of our gigs.
All right, fantastic. Before we let you go, though, let's you talk about your coaching as well. Okay. in terms of how you can help people.
Yeah, so I am a life coach. I'm certified through the Life Coach School, which the life coach industry is unregulated, so that really doesn't mean much. Mm-hmm. But if you like the Life Coach School's teachings and their way of helping, I resemble those. What's the word I'm trying to think of? I use those tools that the Life Coach School teaches. So what I do specifically is I help working women take the drama and overwhelm out of meal planning, because we live in such a fast-paced society that, unfortunately, you know, eating out or buying frozen meals is seen as like easier or quicker. And people don't always want that. They want to be able to make their own meals without a lot of money attached, you know, buying a food delivery service. So I help people take the overwhelm out of meal planning so they can focus their time, money, and sanity on things that they would rather be doing that way.
Yeah, and I suppose with the pandemic that it's been a little more needed, because we all probably think, oh, at least we can go through a drive-thru yet.
Yes.
So you got to really plan that ahead and make sure that everybody not just stays mentally healthy, but physically healthy as well.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing with coaching is, you know, anybody can have a perfect meal planning system. And I say perfect in quotation marks. They can have the perfect system, but it's really the managing of your mind that will help you accomplish any goal. And so in a pandemic, mind management is going to be the most important thing for any goal.
Fantastic. And how can people get a hold of you for Katie Reed music for the coaching?
So katiereed.com, that's WREDE.com, is the music. And for the coaching, it's katiereedcoaching.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Again, remind people that you have the album coming out here on the 5th, just a couple of days away. And we're very much looking forward to it. Where can they find the album as well as the single now?
Yep. So just go on my website and it's right up there, right on top. You can pre-order now until it actually releases.
Fantastic. Appreciate the time,
Katie.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays to you and Brady.
You too.
And we'll be back to wrap up the Dave Holly Hour here in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thank you again, everyone, for listening, for the shares, the likes, all of that. Every little bit of it is appreciated beyond your belief. You know, we're getting bigger numbers on downloads and shares, likes, all of that. It makes a difference for me. It helps out not only me, it helps out the advertisers on this show. So thank you to our good friends, the Sky Lounge in T. Regrettably, just scheduling for the month of December. The Ruggedly Handsome trivia host will not return until January 1st, Friday night, January 1. I think we might be calling it Hangover Trivia. Also, thank you to XL Chiropractic. You know, they are in that new location now over on Racket Drive. Get over there. Let Dr. Tooney, Dr. Langston take care of you and get you on to some better health so that all the other parts of your health get better as well, including, you know, upstairs in the noggin, too. The wonderful family at Quality Nails. You make my toes and my fingers look good. And I don't chew fingernails anymore since I've been going to Quality Nails. And my wife's look excellent, by the way. And also to our great friends at the Books and Brews again. Right now, due to COVID reasons, temporarily shutting down the speakeasy side, but concentrating on the pizza delivery curbside service, so help them out. Shop small the entire holiday season. Thank you to everyone that is making sure that our small businesses do survive. It's greatly appreciated from all of them and from my heart as well. Thank you to Wood Grain Brewery. We are allowed to record so many of our conversations down there. They have been great supporters as well. And of course, thank you to two great guests, Katie Reed with her instrumental music, and also to the big band man, Sean Johnson, who also has a little fun singing a cappella without any instruments. So it's always a good time getting to know so many of the incredible artists and entertainers here in the Sioux Empire. Meanwhile, I am, well, not meanwhile, I'm always Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, and Books and Brews Pizzeria. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, go to DaveHollyHour.com. At the bottom of the front page is the additional links section. Click on the orange button, Dave Holly on Linktree. You can order merchandise, become a Dave Holly Hour VIP, and make contributions to the show. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.